Recordings are now connected. You may now proceed.
Thanks so much, Dan. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the GNSO NextGen RDS PDP Working Group call on the 27th of September, 2016 at 1600 UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge today, if you could please let yourself be known now.
This is Susan Kawaguchi. I'm not in Adobe yet. I'm having a technical difficulty.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. We will note that. Also, as a reminder, if you could please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Also, please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Chuck Gomes.
Thanks, Jerry. Much appreciated. Welcome, everyone, and my apologies for the delay caused by my I had a new link, but it was a link for the leadership circle for Adobe instead of the one for today. So my apologies for that. Does anyone have a statement of interest update? Okay, not hearing anyone or seeing any hands raised. Let's go on to our main agenda item today, which is item two, and we'll continue our discussion on the statement of purpose. And hopefully that's being pulled up right now. How are we doing on the sharing things in Adobe, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we'll be able to do live editing, live screen share,
well,
so we'll have to go with the red line.
We can
deal
with
that. Sorry
about that. Okay, that's all right. We can. That's not a critical issue, just a nice to have, I think. So, all right. And does everyone have the ability to scroll and also, and yes, there it is. I see now I have it too. So you can also control the size of the font. So hopefully that helps people to be able to read it depending on your monitor. So what we have in front of us is the red line of the draft RDS statement of purpose that we worked on last week. And you can see and we're going to focus first of all on the first three paragraphs. Okay? You can see in red line, if you have that in front of you, or if you have the red line document that was set out to the list in front of you, the changes that were made based on our discussions last week. I'm not going to go through those individually because that's been out for just about a week, and everyone should have had a chance to look at it. You certainly can look at it right now. Are there any comments, discussions in terms of the about the edits that we made last week? Okay, Chuck speaking again. And so I'm going to assume that we're okay on the first three paragraphs. So let's go now, if you'll move down in your screen to the fourth paragraph, which is the little section titled Prerequisite Conditions for Each RDS Purpose. We were right in the middle of discussing this last week when we had to switch agenda items, and I promised that we would continue where we left off. Everybody please take a look at the items there, and in particular the comments that were raised during the meeting last week. Notice for item three, the comment says there was a comment raised during the meeting, but we didn't resolve it. One of the things we're trying to accomplish is to create a legal basis for compliance with data protection laws. Is that our job, or is that something that happens later by legal review? And then, of course, our notes on the call talked about that further. And then the comment for the last two items, Roman numeral 5 and 6, a proposal to move those bullets from prerequisite conditions up to goals above. In other words, the previous paragraph was discussed but not resolved during the working group call. Are these goals for the statement of purpose? Do they apply to the statement overall or to specific purposes? So just that's kind of where we were at, and several people had made comments. You're welcome to repeat your comments on this from last week. That would help those. There are quite a few on our call today that weren't on the call last week, so that would actually be helpful if any of you want to repeat your comments or bring up new ones. Alex, you were one of them. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Alex. Can you hear me fine?
Yes.
So I reread the statement in the redlined version over the past few days, and I guess let me ask a question just to make sure at least I'm on the same page, and maybe that we all get on the same page. I want to make sure I understand the distinction between the overall goals section and the other two, the prerequisite condition section and the specific purpose sections. Will all of this be used in a final report in total? Will parts of it be used? I guess I'm missing some context here, and I just want to make sure I understand how and where this text will ultimately end up and in what form. I think that would be helpful for me at least to comment further.
Good questions, Alex. This is Chuck, and others are welcome to jump in too, but let me share my understanding. First of all, note that the overall goals are for this particular statement of purpose, not for each RDS, specific purposes of the RDS. So what are we trying to accomplish with this statement? Our goals are what are listed in that previous paragraph. Now, the next grouping, and by the way, we can change the titles of these things if they're confusing. What we as a leadership team tried to do was to take the input that was received from the group previous to last week's meeting and form it into something that we hoped accommodated the input that each of you gave. The prerequisite conditions, so for the purposes that we're going to list down below in the specific purposes section, okay, this section we're on now, the prerequisite conditions are prerequisites for the specific purposes. So in other words, for the specific purpose, number one, to provide information about the life cycle of a domain name and so on, a prerequisite condition for that, it is that it would be consistent with ICANN's mission, that it would be consistent with other consensus policies, et cetera. Okay? Now, one more comment that may be helpful. What we are going to really use from this as a guideline for us in our deliberation are the specific purposes in the last section. Now, if I said anything incorrectly, somebody please correct me, but I think that explains that. Now, Alex, please tell me whether that helped at all.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. This is Alex. Yeah, I think it does, because if ultimately the only things that will kind of move forward into an official output of this PDP is the specific purposes, then, yeah, that helps to understand, you know, what parts need to be placed in which sections and what's important and what's not. Again, I don't know if I could comment now. I think I need to, with that in mind, I need to reread through this and make sure that we're that we have the right text and the right purposes, and everyone's, well, at least not everyone, I can't speak for everyone, but myself, that we're all, that I understand kind of where this will end up. But that was helpful. Thanks, Chuck.
Good. Thanks. Thank you, Alex. Good, very good question. So, and hopefully that's helpful to others as well. So please do take a look at it again. So let's go back up with the comment on item three under prerequisite conditions. Are there any comments today on that? Does anyone want to suggest a change? Is saying consistency with applicable laws good, bad, and different? Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. This is Steve Metalis. I was just uncertain about what this what was underlying this. My understanding is that one reason we want to list the purposes is so that under the data protection law of many countries, there has to be some relationship. The relationship between the stated purpose of collecting the data and the use that's being proposed to be made of the data has a legal significance. In some cases, it's whether they're consistent. In some cases, it's whether they're not inconsistent. In some cases, there may be different rules about obtaining consent for different kinds of uses, but you need to be able to define a purpose and define a use and then compare them. That's one thing that determines consistency with applicable laws. But is this trying to get at the question of whether some purposes that might be proposed are per se inconsistent with applicable law, are illegal purposes? I mean, in theory, I guess I could understand that, but I'm not sure as a practical matter how much this really adds to our effort here. I think more likely we're looking at a series of purposes, and then we need to, when we talk about potential uses of the data, whether those line up with those purposes. So I guess I wasn't clear on whether the idea was we want to filter out purposes that are per se illegal under some country's law, and if so, I'm not quite sure how we would go about doing that. But I just want to be clear that that's what's intended by this language. Thank you.
I don't think it is, Steve. This is Chuck, and I'll let McKaylee jump in just a second. But the first of all, I think we all know that different laws are going to be applicable in different jurisdictions, so it's very difficult to. And what's meant here, in my understanding, is not that we're trying to be consistent with all laws simultaneously. It's going to be a case by case basis in many instances, I believe. So, and maybe there's a better way to word this to not imply more than what's intended. The key word in my mind is applicable. And applicable won't be the same for every jurisdiction. That's my understanding. But let me let McKaylee jump in, and we'll come back to you and Mark, and then we'll come back to you to make sure that your question was addressed, Steve. Go ahead, McKaylee.
I was going to cede to Lisa as she had her hand up, and then come back to me maybe.
Lisa had her hand up. Okay, it's not showing on my screen, but go ahead, Lisa.
Thanks, McKaylee and Chuck. I did have my hand up and I put it down. I just had wanted to provide a little context for the comment itself, since I see that Rod is not on the call, and he was the one that raised the question during our last call. And I believe he raised this question when we were beginning to parse, what's the purpose of collection, what's the purpose of maintenance, what's the purpose of providing access to. And so I believe that his comment was, do we have to get to that fine level of granularity in this overall purpose statement, or is that something that would be done when mapping to specific laws that would apply and the specific components of those laws?
Thank you, Lisa. Michaela, you want to jump in now?
Thanks, Chuck. Michaela, for the record, not sure about jumping, but I'll throw my two cents in. I think the underlining, I'm just putting it as a marker, that any policy and purpose has to be consistent with applicable laws. I don't see any harm in that being there. I think that's a good reminder that people should bear that in mind when they're looking at all of this. You could get into the weeds on, super fine detail around these things. But I don't think that's what anybody intends with this. It's more a clear marker, we're going to have X, Y, and Z. It has to be consistent. It can't be inconsistent. I mean, we cannot end up in a situation where X number of months down the line, we've developed a set of policies and purposes and what have you, that run slap bang up against data protection law in, Ireland or France or Germany or Japan or whatever. And I don't think that's going to cause any problems. It's just simply a marker. Like you'd have a marker for something, saying, that if you're going to suggest that something become part of the policy around how we use EPP to manage domain names, then it's technically possible for that to be done. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Michaela. Mark, you're up.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Mark Anderson. Michaela, well put. I liked what you said there. I've been thinking about this, ever since the call started, and I guess my two cents on this is, this is maybe a goal more so than a prerequisite for each RDDS purpose. But to my thinking, what we're attempting to do is come up with a framework that allows contracted parties to be on the right side of applicable law, to be in compliance with applicable law, and I feel like that's the goal, and maybe that's the statement that we're trying to say is, our goal is to create a framework that provides contracted parties a mechanism of complying with applicable law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. A question for you. This is Chuck speaking. Are you suggesting that maybe we should change the title of this section to goals for each RDS purpose?
We already have a goals statement, a section above it. There's overall goals for this statement of purpose, and there's prerequisite conditions for each RDDS purpose. And, I think Michaela made a pretty compelling case that, having consistency with applicable laws, as a prerequisite for each RDDS purpose, as a reminder that, hey, contracted parties have an obligation to apply with applicable laws, is a good thing. So I don't necessarily suggest changing that. I just think for my purpose or for my thinking, it's a goal for us and something that we have to maintain and keep in mind, that we need to provide a framework that enables contracted parties to comply with applicable laws. Yeah, I agree with what Lisa just typed.
I better look at that, huh? Let's see, I'm trying to follow. Let's see, so perhaps for overall goal section. Keep in mind, the overall goals relate to their goals for the statement that we're working on. They're not goals for the RDS. The section we're working on now relates to the RDS purposes themselves. So I guess I don't to me, the two sections are focusing on something different. But let's go to Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record. 2 points responding to different concepts here. One, in terms of the basic statement, consistency with applicable laws, given, Chuck, as you said, that applicable laws are, differ by jurisdiction and by actor. there may be a purpose that is consistent with applicable laws in one jurisdiction and not in another jurisdiction. Seems to me that that's sufficient. I don't know if we want to clarify that any further, but in my mind, it's perhaps clear enough the way it is, but it should be consistent with the applicable laws for a particular actor and purpose. We can't make something or try to make this consistent with every law in every jurisdiction simultaneously. Laws just aren't harmonized like that. I think that would be an impossible task. So that for one actor with one purpose, a purpose might be consistent with applicable laws in their jurisdiction, but not in others. So I guess for that, it's consistent with applicable laws. If they try to do it in another place, it would be inconsistent with applicable laws. And that should be fine. That should not disqualify a purpose. Secondly, this is broader than just a set of purposes for registrars. Some of the purposes, some of the actors will not be registrars. I don't think it's broad enough to indicate that this is, solely for enabling contracted parties to comply with applicable law. I know it doesn't say solely, but again, I just want to make sure that our focus is on more than just what registrars do with RDS data. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Chuck again. Cal, your turn.
Thanks, Cal, for the record. The way I look at those prerequisites is essentially as a filter with which to judge the later purposes. And when I think about how I would use point three to filter whether I should or should not have a purpose, or whether it's an appropriate purpose for the RDS, I don't feel it's particularly helpful. I understand that later we may wish to refine a purpose or the data that we collect or the way that we disseminate that data with that in mind, and it might be something, might be a principle that we need to apply to implementation. But I'm struggling to see how that point actually helps me make any decisions on purposes for the RDS. So from my point of view, I take people's opinions that it's an important statement and that we need to bear it in mind, and I feel that's true, but I'm not sure that it belongs here and that it's useful in helping me judge anything about a purpose for the RDS.
So, Cal, this is Chuck. Let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Are you suggesting that we should delete consistency with applicable laws as a prerequisite condition for RDS purposes?
Yeah, that's my feeling. I guess maybe I'm misjudging the purpose of the purpose section, if I can phrase it that way. But to me, it doesn't provide a helpful filter to judge the latter purposes for the RDS. And so because it doesn't provide that useful filter, I think it might actually work the other way. It might help or it might cause confusion in our deliberations. So I'm not suggesting it's an unimportant marker. I'm not suggesting that we ignore applicable laws, but I think that assessment might come later when we discuss an individual purpose, what data that purpose might require, and how that data might be disseminated. I think that's probably the best time to judge applicable laws, not when we're just thinking about why we have certain things in an RDS.
So this is Chuck again. This is not a paragraph talking about why, but their conditions. For example, can we, when we're working on particular requirements later on, let me rephrase that. When we're listing the specific purposes for an RDS registration directory services, you don't think that we should be keeping in mind that we have to, whoever the user is for a particular instance, has to be concerned about applicable law? It seems to me that they would. And so that would be a guideline for a particular, any purposes we come up with. But is that what you're saying? You don't think it's a helpful guideline?
I think it's I look at these those prerequisite conditions as a way of judging whether, in fact, the purpose belongs in RDS in the first place. Otherwise, the purpose may not even be relevant for RDS. And I can align that with consistency with ICANN's mission. I can use that to judge whether an RDS purpose is appropriate. I can use consensus policies, and I can use the ability to articulate a rationale for RDS. So that those things that I can use to easily judge and continue my deliberations, I don't feel that we can use the consistency with applicable laws as a filter to judge whether an RDS purpose is appropriate, because it feels to me it's almost circular. You have to decide what it is that you want first, and then you try and judge whether that is appropriate under an applicable law. It's hard to say, here's a law, and what should I go and collect for it? So to me, it almost feels like it comes later. It's a way of fine-tuning the things that might eventuate from a particular purpose rather than deciding whether a purpose exists.
Thanks a lot, Cal. This is Chuck. And by the way, I think you're absolutely right. It's going to come later, too, even if we leave it here. And somebody mentioned implementation. It certainly is going to be a key issue there. So I don't think there's any doubt that it'll come later. Whether we want to leave it in here is what we'll have to decide, hopefully today, on that. But let's go on and give some other people a chance to talk. Alan, you're next.
Thank you. I put my hand up when Greg was speaking, saying that consistency with laws was problematic because laws vary so much. And I think the issue is here is not consistency with law, but the capability of being consistent with law. We probably have jurisdictions where the law says you must retain data for 2 years, and other jurisdictions saying you must not retain it for longer than 1 year. And clearly, those two cannot meet. So whatever policy we come up with has to be capable of being consistent with applicable local laws, and conceivably there is some jurisdiction where the laws are so outrageous in our minds that we choose not to do business there. But other than that, any policy we come up with has to have the flexibility of allowing the contracted parties to adhere to whatever the local law is if we're choosing to do business there. So it's not so much consistency but capability of consistency that I think we have to focus on as we go forward. I'm not quite sure how much that helps.
Thanks, Alan. This is Chuck. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I like polls not as a form of voting, but just to get a sense of the room, okay, and in this case, a sense of the people on the call. So, Alan, what I'm hearing you suggest is that we change the wording on 3 to capable of being consistent with applicable law. Is that correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and we can wordsmith it later.
I,
but
I hesitate to raise the issue right now, but as we go forward on this process, if it ever comes towards an end, and we start looking at implementations, the implementations are also going to have to be capable of meeting local law, which may say you can't ship the data out of the country or something like that. So there's complexity upon complexity in what we're doing, and it's going to vary heavily from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. And I think we need to remember that as we go forward.
Alan, Chuck again. So if everybody's ready in Adobe Chat, would you put a green check if you're okay with that change? And I'll word it again the way I interpreted it, which was changing 3 to say capable of being consistent with applicable laws. Or if you disagree with that change, put a red X. And hopefully everybody won't just be uninterested and do nothing. That change, okay? I'm trying to keep this thing moving so that we don't spend weeks on this one thing. I'm seeing some green checks. So Klaus and Cal. Now, Cal, just a question for you. Is your concern the same one you just expressed, or do you have a new concern on this? And also I see Steve, and I'm going to come back to you, Steve. Klaus, do you want to comment on why you don't like Alan's change? I guess not, or you're on mute. I don't know. So so it's kind of mixed. A lot of people, then a few more agrees. Okay, you can remove your X's and check marks now, and let's hear from McKaylee, and then Rod, I'm going to alert you that because you commented on this last week. If you want to jump into this discussion on item 3, please feel free to just put your hand up if you want to do that. And in the meantime, let me call on McKaylee.
Thanks, Jeff. McKaylee for the record. Just kind of going back a bit on a couple of the comments people have made. Firstly, to Alan's suggestion, I don't see that as being a massive issue. I mean, the key thing, and I think it's something that people need to bear in mind, the policies end up being binding on contracted parties. On the contracted parties, they're not. You can talk about what somebody who has what they feel to be a valid purpose for doing something as wanting something to be there or not to be there, but they are not a contracted party. They don't end up in a situation where they're being asked to sign. Where they are being forced to sign a contract that contains certain stipulations that could potentially put them at risk of breaching local law. So you need to bear that in mind. I mean, in an ideal world, lots of things would happen. But in the reality, registries and registrars have to sign contracts with ICANN. Policies like this that get developed end up either being directly in our contracts or binding to us via consensus policy on the contracts. A third-party actor who is not a contracted party isn't bound by consensus policy in the same way because it's not part of their contract. So I can understand why people may not feel comfortable with some of this, but ultimately they're not the ones who end up having to sign a contract knowing full well that something could be problematic or not. Thanks.
Thanks, McKaylee. Rod, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Rod Rasmussen here. I just was going to chime in that I was bringing up the fact last call that we were spending a lot of time on this, and that at the end of the day, it's going to probably have some sort of legal review to make sure we're whatever basis we're creating here is works, no matter what we put down here. So I just didn't want to spend a lot of time fine tuning this at this stage. I think the latest rev of the kind of prerequisite language here works fine, to, as far as I'm concerned. I just didn't want to, you know, get buried in the minutiae here at this point stage in the game. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod. This is Chuck. Steve Metellus, let me come back to you and see whether we've made any progress in terms of your concerns and what would be your position. You had a red X in there for Alan's change. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah, thanks. This is Steve. I think I put in the red X basically on the basis of Cal's concern. Is this a usable filtering criterion for looking at a purpose, saying, no, we can't list that as a purpose? And I think he's also right that it becomes even less useful if it's capability, because that you know, almost anything is potentially capable of being made consistent, I guess, with applicable law. I thought the idea of putting this up as an overall goal may have made more sense because, as Michele said, it's kind of a marker. It's a reminder that we do have to bear this in mind. But it's just not clear to me that this is when we say a prerequisite condition, it does imply that anytime anybody suggests a purpose in the next section, we say, does it meet these goals? And I don't think there are these conditions. And I think it's very, as for the reasons Greg stated, it's very hard to make that determination. At one end of the spectrum, you could say almost anything potentially is inconsistent with some country's law, because countries have a very wide range of laws. But it's almost a matter of degree. So that, again, suggests to me it's more an overall goal rather than a usable filtering criterion. That's my main concern about it. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. This is Chuck. So that takes me back to Mark's comments. And maybe we should change the title of this section here to goals for each RDS purpose. Would anybody be opposed to that? If so, put a red X in there or raise your hand to comment. Anybody opposed to changing the title to goals for each RDS purpose? Okay. Well, let's make, and we're unable to edit live, but please watch the notes better than I am. And then I'm looking here and I see some green check marks. Repeating the earlier suggestion, overall goals sections. So this is, Lisa, your suggestion goes back to the previous section to provide a framework that enables contracted parties to comply with applicable laws. So I'll come back to that. Have we got I think there's support for changing the second underlined section there from prerequisite conditions to goals. Okay? Now, let's go to Lisa's suggestion, and I'm having to scroll a little bit. Okay, so Lisa, go ahead and talk to your suggestion.
I just repeated that earlier suggestion because I'm not sure that we came to closure on it, and Steve, in his comments, I was referring back to this being a goal rather than a condition of whether a purpose was going to be considered legitimate or not. I think when we talked about adding this possibly to the overall goals for the statement of purpose, you questioned whether it was a goal for the statement or a goal of the RDS, and I guess I would like to share a view that it is actually a goal of the statement of purpose, that by virtue of having a clearly stated purpose of the RDS, you're providing a framework for that compliance.
Thank you, Lisa. Anybody object to adding that? And I'm assuming you're suggesting that we add it to the overall goals for the statement of purpose section, so it would become item F, I think, in the above section. Is that right, Lisa?
Correct.
Okay. Anybody object to that? Okay. Then let me, I'm going to have to catch up on the chat because a whole bunch was added there. Uh, I'm looking, VA, at your comment there. It seems to me you're getting ahead of the game in terms of possible requirements rather than anything here. If I'm incorrect on that, please let me know. But it looks like what you're talking about are possible requirements rather than what we're talking about here. If I'm misunderstanding, please let me know. It may very well be part of Clause 3 of the Registrar ICANN Agreement, the RAA, but that doesn't mean it fits here. Okay, so, and it's fine to have the discussion. No problem with that. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. That's okay. All right. So let's try and get moving a little bit and make some more progress here. So let's go to the second comment that relates to items 5 and 6. Now let me confirm. So if we change the title to goals instead of prerequisite conditions, does anybody object to saying consistency with applicable law, or it sounds like there's a little bit of preference for consistency rather than capability based on at least one comment. But is that okay? And let's not wordsmith too much, guys. This particular document is going to be helpful for us going forward, but where we're going to need to be more precise in language is when we actually word requirements and then end up recommending those requirements. And I think that's where we will need legal review in some cases, too, to make sure we have it right. I'm not sure we need to be that precise at this stage. Again, I'm trying to keep us moving rather than get too much into the weeds, as long as there's no big disagreement with what we're saying. So there were no comments, I don't think, last week on item 4. Certainly someone can make one now. But on 5 and 6, it was suggested that those be moved by some, that those be moved up to the overall goals for the statement of purpose, and some disagreed in that. Let's see if we can reach a reasonably good decision on that right now. Any of those of you, and make sure you differentiate between the overall goals for the statement of purpose and goals for each of the RDS purposes below. Those are different things. Is there anybody that still thinks we should move 5 and 6 or 5 or 6 up to the overall goals for the statement of purpose section? If so, please raise your hand and tell us why. Go ahead, Vicki.
Hi, I just wanted to confirm that the way we're describing it now, this section won't be called prerequisite conditions. It's going to be called goals for each RDS purpose. So we're just saying we'd like to see it an easy way to understand what the purpose is or what the use is. Is that right?
Run that by me again. I didn't follow it totally. Please.
And I wasn't on the call last week, so I apologize, but my guess that part of the concern before was having it as a prerequisite as opposed to a general goal for a specific purpose. And I want to make sure
we may end up deciding that some of the things are specific prerequisites. I think we can deal with that once we're looking, get into the specifics in our deliberation. Several people were just more comfortable with a goal because in some cases it may not be achievable when you're talking about varying goals by jurisdiction and so forth. Again, my suggestion is let's not do too much wordsmithing and try to be too precise, as long as there's nothing that's strongly objectionable to anyone. Does that make any sense, Vicki?
Yes, except that if that's what we're thinking about, then it may make sense for it to be more of a goal as opposed to a prerequisite, because how easy the communication is a question, right, that's subject to interpretation. I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other. It struck me that your change of taking out the prerequisite conditions would solve this problem, but now I'm hearing perhaps it won't.
Right, and I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think we all agree, for example, on item three, that we're going to have all the people that are involved in an RDS are going to have to follow applicable laws. So by calling it a goal, I don't think anybody is suggesting that it might not be a requirement. But I think I understand what you're saying. Let's see if Lisa can help us here.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. I think what we might be struggling with is that that we're dealing with two different dimensions in these sections. So there's the question of whether it applies to overall or to a specific purpose, and then there's the question of whether the goal applies to the statement of purpose or to the purpose of the RDS itself. And I think that's probably what's causing us a little bit of consternation here. From last week's call, the suggestion to move these items up, V and VI, up to become the new D and E under goals for the statement of purpose was because it was felt that they applied to the goals of this statement. Why are we creating this statement? Not the question of what's the purpose of the RDS, which is listed under prerequisite conditions. So I think that's the distinction that was being made in trying to move it. Now, if it's a goal or a condition of the defining something as a purpose of the RDS itself, then it belongs in this section that we're talking about. If it's a goal of the statement that we're trying to craft here, then it belongs in the top section, is my interpretation.
Thanks, Lisa. So where would you put them?
My personal opinion is having them listed as a goal of the statement of purpose is probably sufficient for now. As individual purposes are being deliberated upon, it might end up being helpful to have some set of guidelines for how purposes are determined to be in or out, shall we say. But I'm not sure we're at that stage yet.
And Lisa, Chuck again, so would you move both 5 and 6?
Yes, I believe that 5 became D under overall goals and 6 became E under overall goals.
Oh, that's right. That's what D and E. So okay, got it. So I forgot that we had already put them in up above. So we had them in both places, basically. So D and E. So the new one that we added that you suggested earlier would still be F.
Yes, the new one that we added, providing a framework to enable contracted parties to comply with applicable laws, that would become F then, yeah.
And Chuck again, and then 5 and 6 would be deleted underneath the goals for each RDS purpose.
Correct.
Anybody?
That was a proposal that was on the table when we ended the call last week.
Yeah, so any – correct. Thanks for reminding us of that. Chuck speaking again. So is there – any objection to that change? So we would, what are 5 and 6 now essentially are what are shown as D and E above under overall goals for the statement of purpose. Anybody object to those changes? Okay, any other comments? Is that a new hand, Lisa?
Old hand, apologies.
No problem. So let's – any other comments on the section that we're now calling goals for each RDS purpose? Additions, edits, anything? Okay. Not seeing any hands. Let's go to specific purposes for registration directory services. And let's look at number one, if everybody can focus on that one, which is the purpose of GTLD registration data is to provide information about the life cycle of a domain name as specified by ICANN's diagram of GTLD life cycle, and there's a link to it, to enable management of a domain name registration. Mark, go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Mark Anderson for the record. Let me apologize for not being on last week's call. I assume this was discussed, but I see that the title...
This was not discussed. We didn't discuss anything in this section last week. Okay? There hasn't been any discussion on the list that I recall seeing. So, sorry for interrupting, but I wanted to clarify that. This is Chuck.
Fair enough. But what I was going to say is I noticed the title has changed from draft registration data and directory services to just draft registration directory services. And that seems applicable here because it seems that last week a discussion or decision was made to remove the data part of this. And then our very first specific purpose deals with registration data. So I guess... I'm asking for a quick summary of why we removed data, and depending on that, I'm wondering if this first purpose applies anymore, because this seems to pertain specifically to the registration data, not the registration directory services. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Lisa, I think you were the one that suggested that change. If not, correct me. But if you were, would you like to comment on that?
Sure, Chuck. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. I didn't suggest removing data. As a matter of fact, I probably was the one in the leadership team that added the distinction between data and directory services. And when we did strike data from the both the title and the first paragraph, we put in a placeholder to ourselves that we would have to revisit that when we got to the section of specific purposes, because it was structured in the way that Mark just flagged, starting with the definition of the purpose of the data and the purpose of the system that surrounds the data.
Thanks, Lisa, and forgive my bad memory. Should we then put data back in there in both instances, in the overall title and in this particular section? And before we talk about that further, let me go to Greg.
Thanks, Greg Chapman, for the record. And I think that this is a change we may have discussed earlier, but doesn't seem to have been reflected. But I would think that for number one, and probably for number two, it should begin a purpose, not the purpose. The purpose makes it sound like this is the sole purpose. Or perhaps maybe the distinction is that we're talking here about registration data. But I guess the question then is, what is there a difference between registration data and the data that's going into the registration directory service? That doesn't seem to be the case in number two. So if we're saying that everything that's going into the RDS is what we're calling registration data, then the purpose is broader than just number one. So agree that this is a purpose, but disagree that this is the purpose. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Lisa, you want to comment on that?
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer again. Echo, I think it was Holly from our last call, who was pointing out that there is certainly registration data that is collected and used to support the life cycle, but does not end up being part of the data that's collected by the RDS in the relationship between registrars and registries, and doesn't end up being accessible through whatever access the RDS provides. That was the distinction that was being made originally in this point.
But if you look at number two, it says that the purpose of a system to collect, maintain, and provide access to GTLD registration data, hereinafter referred to as the RDS. So there's an inconsistency here. You know, it may be that the data is being collected, you know, for the purpose of registration, but really, that is not the only purpose that it's being collected for. So I think here, you know, we're narrowing it down too far.
Thanks, Greg. Lisa, go
ahead. I apologize. I didn't mean to clobber you there. I just wanted to point out that it was the system that was referred to as the RDS.
Well, if it's still a system only to collect GTLD registration data, that's what it's a system for. So the system is being defined by what's going into it. So, again, it doesn't work.
So, first of all, the easy decision, I think, is to change in number one, the to A. Any objections to that? If we make that change, we'll come back to number one. But what about the title? The title of the overall document and the title of this section. Should we put registration data and back in there? Alan, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry, Mark, you were up first.
Thanks, Chuck. I was going to comment on a different item. You know, I guess I'm still.
I'm going to bring you back in. You want to come back in later?
Yeah, that might make sense. I guess I'm still wondering why. You know, at some point this must have been discussed, and you know, it was agreed that it should be taken out. And I'm not necessarily opposed to taking out registration data. I'm just wondering, you know, what the rationale why that decision was made. Thanks, Chuck.
Oh, you're welcome, Mark. I confess I don't remember why we took that out. I'd have to go back and see if I could figure it out. But Alan, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, I raised my hand when you asked, should we change in one, change the to A? And I distinctly remember about two meetings ago having that discussion and making the change because I raised the point.
Yeah, I kind of
do. So I'm not quite sure what's happening here. Let me make an umbrella statement. I think we are spending far, far too much time on this for the value it's going to give us in the end.
I have lots of sympathy for what you're saying. That's why I'm trying to push it along.
There's a phrase I will not use in public that this sounds like right now, and I do not think it's a productive use of our time. However, I'll be quiet.
No, that's okay, Alan, because I've been having the same thoughts. That's why I'm trying to move this forward. Greg or Mark, go ahead. Come back in.
Thanks, Chuck. Mark again. So jumping ahead to specific purposes, I guess I'm looking at specific purpose number two. If you're okay with me delving into that, if not, I can hold my comments till appropriate. So, thank you. So I'm reading that, and it says, you know, the purpose of a system to collect, maintain, and provide access to a GTLD registration data, hereafter referred to it as the RDS. That statement really bothers me because I think that's way off track, frankly. The shared registration system, the SRS, which registrars, you know, connect to the registry via EPP, you know, that is the system that collects, maintains, and provides access to registrars of registration data. RDS is a completely different thing. You know, that provides a view or visibility into, you know, public visibility into that registration data. But that has nothing to do with the collection or maintenance of that data. It does provide access to the registration data. But to say, you know, the purpose of the RDS is to collect and maintain that data, I think is way off track. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Greg.
Thanks, Greg Chatton again. And at the risk of spending yet more time, I wasn't sure if Alan was referring to the amount of time we were spending on why we crossed out registration data and whether it should come back in or on the wordsmithing of the specific purposes. If it's the former, I agree. We don't need to spend a lot of time on the heading at this point, if ever. But if we're talking about the entire statement, as Alan confirms, then I think the wordsmithing is important, especially if we are going to – a lot of it depends on how we're going to use this statement. If we're going to use this statement as kind of a statement of boundaries of what we're doing and whether something is in or out or good or bad or a purpose or not a purpose, then this is a critical document. And if it's something that we're going to iterate or reiterate and not say is kind of authoritative at any point, at least until the end of our work, then it's less important too. So I guess the use of the tool indicates whether the wordsmithing is worth the candle here in terms of getting it really right or just right enough. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. So I'm going to draw this agenda item to a close here. And with two changes under specific purposes there, changing the word the to a in number one and number two. And Mark, I would like, on number two, I would like you after this call to communicate on the list your concern about number two, so that everybody can grasp that, because we need to follow up on that next week. My goal as chair next week is to finish this next week. I hope we can do that so we can move on. At the same time, I think Greg's point is well taken. This can help us going forward. Let's just not spend all of our time on that, because we're going to need a lot of time in our deliberation, and we need to get to there. So what I'd like each of you to do, so this is an action item for everybody, is certainly focus on where we're at, and we'll send out I suggest rather that for the first 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs, that we send out a clean version to the whole group, and that we put registration data and back in there in both places, and we make the two change, and they can be redline changes in one and two. That's fine. And that we send it out, and I'd like everybody, please, to try and discuss the specific purposes on the list between now and our meeting a week from now, which will be at the same time as today, so that when we get to our meeting next week, we will have covered some ground and won't have to spend the whole meeting finishing this off. Now, not only do I ask you to look at the wording of the three purposes and the two sub-items under number three, but are there some things missing that we should add here? Please suggest those. Or if you think that maybe one of them should be deleted. But rather than waiting until next week's call, please let's try to get a little work done on the list between now and then. Now, the reason I'm bringing that to a close, because there's a couple other things we need to do today. So let's go to agenda item three, which is to review the draft number four of the triage possible requirements list. Now, we're not going to review the whole draft. It's a huge document. But the first thing we want to do, there were some items flagged. If we can bring up the document that shows those that are marked with question marks on the Adobe screen, I would appreciate that. And by the way, I really appreciate the discussion that occurred on the list after our last meeting. And one of those items, I think, at least as far as I could tell, there was decision on the discussion on the list that it should not be deleted. And so unless somebody wants to discuss that or disagree with it, we will not delete the one. But unless there are objections, we will delete all the others. So hopefully that's coming up now so you can take a quick relook at those. We asked you last week, to those on the call, and or if you listened to the recording, to take a look at those and see if any of them need to remain, and one of them was identified in that sense. So I hope that ICANN's new setup for Adobe improves over the next few weeks. It seems to be taking longer for everything today. So thanks. Okay. And Kent. Okay. And if everybody can be given the ability to, there we go, good. So we can, I know it's too small for me, even on a fairly big monitor. Okay. So let me, so hopefully you can see those. Lisa, could I ask you, in case people can't read them in Adobe and may not have these in front of them, could I ask you to read just the description of each one, and then we can decide whether anybody has any objections to deleting that, and then identify the one, of course, that we decided to do that. Before you jump in, though, Lisa, Steve, go ahead. Steve Metallis, are you on mute?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'm fine to have Lisa go through these. I had a question on one of them, but when she gets to that, I can.
Okay, good. Thanks, Steve. You can leave your hand up. That's fine.
Okay.
Just let us know verbally when you when we get there.
Okay.
Lisa, can you go through them one at a time, and we'll pause between each one?
Yes. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. So the first three are in the gated access section. All of them come from a GAC communique. The first one is GA 50R01. According to that Singapore GAC communique of 2015, the ICANN board should amend the current process for requests to realize or release two-letter codes to establish an effective notification mechanism, so that the relevant governments can be alerted as requests are initiated. So these are requests for two-letter codes.
Is there anyone that thinks that should be left in? Seems to me it's not one of our possible requirements, but that's my own personal opinion. Oh, thanks, Steve. I see your response there. So if you don't have, you can take your hand down if you, unless you want to jump in again.
No, that was true earlier.
Oh, okay.
I'll take my hand down, though, and I'll put it back up.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Okay. I was out of time on looking at your at the chat. Sorry about that. Fabricio, I'm not sure what you're saying there, so maybe we leave the entire statement to deliberations. You're talking about this purpose statement we've been working that we were working on. Is that what you're talking about there, or are you talking about one of the items, the item that Lisa just read to us?
Chuck, this is Lisa. There was a sideline there in chat about the very last bullet in the specific purposes. Fab was asking whether one of the senses really even made sense. And that
So we'll come back to that when we continue next week on that. Or certainly, Fabricio, if you would put that comment in the chat like I asked Mark to do his comment, that would be very helpful in terms of getting some discussion going on that. So I request that if you would. Thanks, Maxim, for your comment. So, okay, so I'm going to conclude that we can delete that first one. Lisa, let's go to the next one.
The next one, also from the Singapore GAC communique, is the ICANN board should extend the comment period referred to by the one we just discussed to 60 days. Seems to me pretty clear if the first one is struck, this one is struck as well.
I would agree with that. Anybody disagree? Okay, let's go to number three.
The third also comes from the Singapore GATT communique. The changes recommended by those first two should be implemented before proceeding with pending and future requests to release two-letter codes.
Any comments on that? Go ahead, Lisa. You can comment.
I was just going to say, again, it depends on the first two. Striking the first two leaves three irrelevant.
Okay. Any objection to striking that one? Okay, the fourth one. Oh, thanks, Michele, for the check mark. Michele, go ahead and speak.
Thanks, Chuck. Michele, for the record. Why are we discussing two-letter codes? I'm a bit confused. What's this got to do with what we're doing?
That's why it's being deleted, Michele.
Okay. No, sorry. I'm just trying to understand. Have I missed something completely?
No. Susan and Lisa went through all these, and they identified these as they didn't seem relevant to our work. But for some reason, doesn't matter why, they were listed as possible requirements and by someone in the group or more than one in the group. And so we're just cleaning it up a little bit right now. That's all. Okay.
Okay, so I can go back to sleep again. Thank you.
Next. Go ahead, Lisa.
The next one on the list is in the data accuracy section. It is a safeguard that registry operators should undertake periodic security checks to analyze whether domains in its GTLD are being used for threats to security, such as farming, phishing, malware, and botnets. And this is the one that received some discussion on the list. And the proposal on the table from the list is that this be moved from data accuracy to users and purposes and revised to indicate that registration data would be made available for this safeguard purpose.
And so I suggest that we do that. We'll get a chance then to deliberate further on it, so I don't think we need to do that now. There was good discussion on the list. Thanks again for that. I appreciate it. Let's go to the next one.
The next set are in the privacy section. The first is 49 requirement, possible requirement 4, which is that the RAA PIC specification requirement for category 2 new GTLDs must include a non-discriminatory requirement to provide registrants an avenue to seek redress for discriminatory policies that should be amended.
Okay, and let's go to Steve now so that he can come in with his thoughts here.
Thank you. This is Steve. My only comment on this was that I think the reason that the one just preceding it has been saved is because it basically references a requirement in the public interest commitments that most registries have signed on to. I just wanted to point out this also addresses a topic that is in those public interest commitments, which is to have a non-discriminatory registration policy that's publicly available. It does not include the requirement to provide registrants an avenue to seek redress for discriminatory practices. That's something I guess GAC asked for. It didn't end up in the public interest commitment. But all I'm saying is this is relevant, seems relevant, to an obligation that registries have, many registries have. And therefore, I'm asking the question, is the same by the same logic that we saved the last one, which is that RDS data is important or plays a role in fulfilling this obligation. Would the same be true here? So, for example, how would you prove that you had been discriminated against in a registration policy? One way might be to see who had registered other domain names that you think were similarly situated in some way, and you weren't allowed to do it. It all depends on the facts. But it just seems as though there might be some relevance here to fulfillment of what is in specification 3C of the public interest commitments. There is a specification about non-discriminatory registration policies. That was my only point. Thank you.
So Steve, this is Chuck. Let me ask you a quick question here. So do you think this could be reworded so that it is more of a requirement rather than just a reference to some requests by others?
I think that could be done. I mean, it could be made parallel more or less to what Lisa's done on the preceding one.
So I'd rather err on keeping them if there's any doubt at all than taking them out. But I would like to ask a favor of you. Could you maybe put on the list, you don't have to do it right away, but before our next meeting maybe, how this could be reworded? And is the category okay that it's in?
I'm honestly not sure about that. But
okay, if you have thoughts on that, share them. But let's for now, we'll just leave it the same. If you think it should be moved, you could suggest that too.
Thanks.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's go to the next one. Lisa?
This is from the same document. It's another GAC communique. The GAC reaffirms its advice from the Toronto, Beijing, Durban, and Buenos Aires, Singapore, and London communiques regarding the protection of IGO names and acronyms at the top and second levels, as implementation of such protection is in the public interest, given that IGOs, as created by governments under international law, are objectively different right holders.
So this really is a new GTLD policy issue, not an RDS policy issue. Anybody disagree with that? Okay, let's remove it. Next.
Again, from the same GAC communique, concerning the preventative protection at the second level, notice of a match to an IGO name or acronym to prospective registrants, as well as the concerned IGO, should apply in perpetuity for the concerned name and acronym in two languages and at no cost to IGOs.
I think this is the same as the previous one as far as I don't think it's an RDS requirement, is it? Anybody disagree? Okay. We'll delete that one. Next.
The last. This is, again, from the same GAC communique. Concerning curative protection at the second level and noting the ongoing GNSO PDP on access to curative rights protection mechanisms, any such mechanism should be at no or nominal cost to IGOs.
Again, I don't think this relates to the RDS. Does anybody think it should be left? Okay. Now, if somebody after the fact disagrees with any decision we made today, please feel free to communicate it. Otherwise, we will assume that we've kept two of these, and we're looking for some additional wording on the one that Steve talked about, and we will delete the others, barring any further discussion that changes our decision on our possible requirements list. Okay, we're just about out of time, but let's do a couple other things that hopefully we can take care of before we adjourn. In the new system, I don't know if we can bring up just a subset or something of the titles, the column titles or something, but one of the things that is in there is a column that gives some code mappings. And the leadership team thinks that maybe it would be good to have a few people that would take a look at those code mappings, and I think you have to scroll to the right to see that column. That's the C column. Am I correct on that, Lisa? Yes.
Yes,
so the code mappings with the keywords. So she has it circled there, and you can see the description up above circled in red as well. What we'd like, and I don't know if we have time to get, it depends how quickly people might volunteer, but if we could get just a few people who would volunteer to check those and confirm that the mapping works, that would be very helpful. So do we have any volunteers on the call right now to help do that? You can take, you know, a couple weeks, or if you need more than that, even more than that, but it would be good to do that. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Still Lisa Pfeiffer. The concern that I had in doing the triage for this code column is I applied the mappings which mapped keywords to codes across the board. But when you read the actual possible requirement, often I found that the code value didn't seem to be the right one, that perhaps there were other code values in the chart or the set of coding values that Stephanie had proposed. There might be others that were more appropriate. So just to reiterate and build on what Chuck described, what I'm thinking is that if we can get volunteers to each take one of the tables, so the table on users and purpose, the tables on gated access, the table on data accuracy, the one on data elements, and the one on privacy, if we can split this up amongst, say, five people, have each of those volunteers just look at that code column, look at the list of codes, and think to yourself, does this code make sense? And if it doesn't make sense, what is the other code that really makes better sense? I think then that code column will be much more useful to us when we get to deliberations because things will be sorted into the right bucket.
Thanks, Lisa. Chuck, again. And Lisa, you will work with those volunteers, right?
Correct. I'd be happy to help explain the task to anybody that volunteers, and I'll certainly work with you on taking your output and applying it back into the next draft of the document.
So do we have any volunteers in the call today? And of course, the first volunteer gets to pick the category, so you have some advantages of jumping in early. All right, let's make that an action item and put out a request to the list that we would appreciate five volunteers to help on that. And hopefully all of you will think about it, and we can get that. We all need to review the list of possible requirements anyway, so it can be part of your overall review. And again, I encourage everybody to be looking at that, the full list of possible requirements. We made some changes today for a few that we deleted, and we're getting close to deliberation, I hope. So the more we can do to refine this, the better. Now, the last thing I want to cover very quickly, because I know our time is up, is the possible requirement assignments. There are still, I don't know if we can pull up the slide on that. There are a few that haven't been done. So I sent out some emails to individuals. Greg Shatton, assuming you're still on the call, did you get my email? I didn't get a response from you.
Yes, I did. I'll come back to you on that. I think a divide-and-conquer plan probably makes good sense.
Good. Okay, so you do. So it would be good then so we'll work in that direction. Do you still want to work on it with others?
Yeah, I've already done a good bit of the work. It's just a long slog, and I've had to put it aside a number of times. So.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the status update, too. Marika, you reached out to some people as well. Do you have an update? Marika, are you on?
Yes, this is Marika. Okay. Sorry, it takes me a bit of time to get up mute. No, I didn't receive a response yet to my inquiry.
So what the plan is, the leadership team decided in our call yesterday that if we don't get some progress or responses by the end of the week, we're going to seek some other volunteers. And in the case of the one that Greg signed up for, and by the way, in fairness to Greg, he picked a really big one. It's a huge task. So what we'll do, as he just indicated, is get some people to join him, and we'll do that because we're out of time. We'll do that on the list and get some other people to help him. But I think some others, if we don't hear from them by the end of the week, because there's one or two others that I reached out to that I haven't heard back from, like Marika, we will take some steps to try and get these finished so that they don't slow us down when we get to them later on. Is there anything else we need to cover in today's meeting? I already said that our meeting time next week's the same time. Sorry for going, I think, just a little bit over, or maybe just on time. but we made some good progress. Hopefully we'll finish up the problem or the purpose statement next week. That'll be the goal, and we'll try and make some more progress on the list of possible requirements. Please help us by a few of you by picking one of the five categories to look at the codings. I don't think it's a huge task, but if people spend a couple hours trying to doing that, and Lisa, you probably be helpful if once we get the volunteers, if you arrange a little call for them to make sure everybody understands and to make their task easier and the time they need to commit easier. Okay, and there's some stuff in the chat. I'll let you take a look at that. Our time is up. Thank you very much, and have a good rest of the week. Meeting adjourned.